SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on April 17th, 2012. And I have on the line Mike Bradford, a minister of the gospel in from Joplin, Missouri, on the line. We're going to share from our heart tonight in this, in these last days, these last times when we're seeing the things being fulfilled in the scriptures in our day. Praise the Lord. The Lord is so good and he loves you so much, and that God the Father sent his son to die for your sins and bore your sins. Christ Jesus did not know sin, but bore your sin, my sin, all the sin of the world upon himself, that he might redeem us to God. He was treated shamefully, Mike, by religious people. The Lord endured all that. And we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and run this race in these last days, be focused and be involved in what is pleasing to the Lord, that we might fight a good fight of faith. Hello, Mike. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate that you're a gift of God for the last days, Mike.
Well, thank you very much, Trevor, and I just thank everybody for tuning in to this broadcast, and hopefully it will shine some light on to the soul, the direction of your soul, and open up a pathway to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hey, Mike, I was reading something this morning before I went to work, and it really blessed me, and I felt like I wanted to read it. It's an old letter. And what I'd like people to think about, and I want you to comment about as you hear this, is the things that were talked about in this letter and what it was focusing on and emphasizing. Okay? This is an old letter to Christians. Pardon me. And he was writing a letter to believers in Jesus Christ in this one certain location. And he said, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is proper, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you towards each other, it is increasing. So that we ourselves are glorying in you in the churches of God for your endurance and your faith and all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Isn't that interesting so far, Mike?
Yes, most definitely.
Talking about their love and their faith and how they had endurance going through tribulations. And he goes on and says, "There's a manifest sign of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those that trouble you."
Amen.
Okay, he goes on and says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh.
When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, his holy ones, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Ladies and gentlemen, this is Apostle Paul that wrote this letter, and it's called 2 Thessalonians, and he's talking about believers, brethren of the church that was in Thessalonia, a city, and it wasn't called this name and that name, and it wasn't so-and-so's church, but it was the church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Do you notice anything there, Mike, as we read that?
Yes, it's pertaining to today's issues of life as well. You know, enduring hardship through the trials of our faith. You know, enduring hardship is a good soldier. We have to do that each and every day that we are here upon this earth. Because this earth will swallow you up, you know, and you don't know how to cope with situations that come arise in your life. Let me tell you, folks, when we come to Jesus Christ and we turn our will and our life completely over to care of Him, He is with us through every trial and temptation. But before when I was a sinner and didn't know Jesus Christ, I was out here going through this thing alone.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have no way out. Didn't have nothing. But let me tell you, there is an escape goat, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one that went to the cross for you and I and died there. Jesus could have said, "Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be disobedient, and I'm not going to do it, Father." No, He was very obedient into the things of what His Father wanted, even though He knew it was to His death. But also Jesus knew that His Father was going to resurrect Him on the third day, because that's what the Scripture said in the Old Testament. See, people don't realize, at that time when the Gospels were written, all they had to go by of Scriptures was the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was prophecies saying that there would be a Christ that would come and redeem God's people back to God, you know, through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. And this is what has taken place today. When you become born again, you've got Jesus Christ going with you through this problem. But like I was saying, when I didn't have that and I was in the world, I didn't know how to deal with and cope with situations that arose up in my life. What did I do as a sinner as I used to be? I went out and drank and drugged and everything else and the ways of the world, and hopefully, you know, that kind of eased some of the pain, eased some of the symptoms, but still, it wasn't enough. There isn't enough in this world, only Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the light. He is it. If you've got any problems out here, folks, that you're dealing with, and you can't shake that tick off of you like a tick on a dog, you can't shake that thing off, it's because you have got to have Jesus Christ in your life. That's the reason why He died upon a cross for each and every one of us. Trevor?
That's right. Well, there's no sin that the Lord's not familiar with, because there's nothing new under the sun. And
come on.
The same sins that were from the beginning are the same sins that are going on at the end. So, but now is the time of salvation. This is the acceptable time. This is the time to call upon the name of the Lord.
That's right.
Our time is nearer than when we first believed. Well, praise the Lord. I want to continue to read this. I want people to catch the spirit of and the weight of this.
Okay.
This epistle, this is a letter, that's what that means, epistle.
Right.
But Jesus is returning. He's talking about how interesting here, 2,000 years ago, that they were focused upon the second return, the second coming, the return of Jesus Christ. But today, you notice a lot of people in the church world have lost sight of that. They're really not interested in the Lord's return. They're more interested in, you know, politics, taking over the world through political means or social redemption by works, and or just enjoying life. But this world is under judgment of God, and the time is ticking. And this is why you want to call upon the Lord, because surely His judgment is coming. And this is what Apostle Paul talks about here in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if these people are thinking that, you know, they're teaching inclusion, they're teaching all religions lead to the same path, or people can be saved that don't even believe the gospel. That's preached by Carlton Pearson and many, many other people. But they've become reprobate, crazy in their mind, that they've rejected Jesus. And like we just read that scripture, even denying the Lord that bought them.
Yeah.
This says that in Jesus will come in flaming fire and take vengeance on those that do not know God or do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to either be obedient or disobedient.
Right.
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. The Lord's coming to be with His people, to be admired in all those that believe. And then he says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
I'm blessed by that.
Amen.
I believe this speaks to us today, Mike.
Most definitely.
In the Lord's coming, we want people to be so strong in their faith. And so, by the grace of the Lord, it's such a witness, a testimony of Jesus. Because the time's going to come, the Lord said, that it would be given to us, Mike, to give a testimony before governors and kings and rulers for his namesake. And we're not to premeditate. We're not to worry about what we're going to say or do. That the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father, in that hour, will give us what we're to say. You know, there's times when we should speak, and there's times when we shouldn't speak. And we don't want to be talking out of our head. We want to be speaking from the Spirit of God, the very words of God, with the Lord. That's how God has ordained us to minister in the last days.
That's it, you know, and we have to be zealous for the Lord, bold. And, you know, if we're really not doing and seeking after God as a believer, or I like to use the word disciple, and one of his disciples, we're not really, you know, concentrating. I use this metaphorically speaking, eat, sleep, and drink Jesus. Mm-hmm. If we're not doing that each day and have him first in our heart throughout the day, what are we really doing, folks? What are you really doing? Is he just going through a religious system that's going to lead you down to the pathways of hell? God is not going to put you or I in hell. We will do it to ourselves by being disobedient to the Word of God. The Word of God is the plumb line, is the hammer, and it is the sword that will cut and divide, and it will hammer your heart to get you to get right with God. And it depends on how much are you in the Word if you're a disciple of his. Are you in the Word? Are you really seeking the Word? Are you hungry and thirsting after the Word and after his presence? You know, what are we really doing? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm asking everybody out here today. What are we doing that proclaim to be Christians but have denying the power thereof? Trevor?
Well, I'm looking at this transcript, Mike, that I had shared back in 2005, and I had mentioned at the time Isaiah chapter 1. This is where God was so grieved with his own people.
Yes.
They had forgotten who he was. Okay, he said a donkey knows his master's crib. You know, an ox knows who feeds it, but my people don't know me. And that's sad, because God loves his people. He wants to be with his people and dwell in his people. That, I mean, it's not a building made with men's hands. You know, people talk about temples and these great the mausoleums, you know, these great structures. But God's looking for a man that's broken, contrite, and that trembles at his word. And that's in Isaiah 66. You know, heaven is God's throne. Earth is his footstool. Where's the house you'll make for me, says the Lord? But for this man will I look. This is what God's looking for. But it's God that can cleanse us, cleanse our heart. Because he says, I will receive you. I will walk in you. I'll be among you. You'll be my sons and daughters. I'll be your God. But he says, touch not the unclean thing.
That's it.
I'll be separate, says the Lord. But this chapter, Isaiah 1, Mike, it just went on. It described the condition of the religious people at that time. And I believe it's the same today.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a mirror image, because in Ecclesiastics, it says, you know, basically, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're seeing in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's happening here today, where people are going through the motions, they're doing a yada, yada, yada thing, and going through all the right Christianese words and Christianese phrases,
mm-hmm.
and doing all the, they think, the right stuff, because Aunt Mildred and Uncle Martin, they did the same thing, so I'm going to do the same thing. Well, just because somebody else is doing it don't mean it's right. You've mm-hmm. got to listen to the Holy Spirit, which is inside of you, because greater he is in me than he is in the world. If you are born again, being a disciple of Christ, being that doer of his word daily, then we need to totally really heed to the things of the Spirit and not the things of the world. And we're seeing right now, as you said, Trevor, there's so much worldliness in the church, you can't tell the two apart anymore.
Right.
There's so much stuff going on that I, myself, being a minister, just can't believe some of the stuff I'm hearing and seeing, and they proclaim to be Christians. Come on. You know, I'm not an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, folks. You know, you've got to weigh it out with the Word of God. There's where the check and balance system is in the kingdom of God, is His Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we kick it to the curb. Don't even think on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's lining up with the Word of God, start meditating on it. And how much is that going on today, Trevor? Meditating on God's Word and keeping in communion with Him daily and minute by minute throughout the day. And it is nothing but disciplining yourself to be able to do that. And again, excuse me, like I tell people, what lengths are you willing to go to obtain the things of God? When you got born again and being a disciple of Christ, God didn't come down and hit you with a magic wand saying, da 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 da, Trevor Davis, now you've got no more problems. No, it didn't work out that way, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to have the problems we did before, but the key thing is we've got Jesus Christ, the fourth man in the fire, the Holy Ghost, to go through it with us, to show us the way of escape. God, it will always show you a way of escape if you're listening to His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, inside of you and I. He will show you, He will give you that way of escape. If you're not walking with God and you're doing your own thing, your head's going to try to figure out a way of escape, and you'll be put in checkmate. And then something will happen. But if we're listening, like I said, to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, listening to Him, He will give us that extra move to get out of checkmate, because the enemy, he wants to put you in checkmate and tell you in your head, you're done. You're done, Trevor Davis. You're done. Trevor mm-hmm. Davis says, no, I'm not done, because greater He is in me than He is in the world. I've got Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to be and am a son of the living God. Me and sons of God. The people that are being led by the Holy Spirit are sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we have to be today, Trevor.
Well, Mike, you reminded me when I was first walking as a disciple when I was 24 years old. God had stopped everything in my life. I had broke my collarbone, and I couldn't go to work, and I couldn't work out. The various things I normally did, everything stopped. And God started convicting me. I would cry. I would tell God I was sorry. I would repent. And I started reading the scripture. And then on February 3rd, 1981 is when I really made a dedication before the Lord.
Amen.
Called. And I was a young man with, you know, normal passions. And I was saying, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing, you know, this sin and that sin. And the Lord said, I don't care what other people do. What I want you to walk with as my son walk, you know. So I want to say to the people, you can't walk as the multitude walk. That the people aren't your standard. The people you know aren't your standard. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. And the Lord said, I want to know what you are going to do. And I said, well, I want to lay down my life and walk pleasing to you, Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we all need to be. And that's what God was calling for here in this chapter of Isaiah 1. God was saying, you know, you're like Sodom and Gomorrah. Unless the Lord had left a little small remnant among the people, they would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so selfish, full of sin, idolatry, you know, idleness of time, self-centered, not helping the needs of other people.
Stubborn.
Stubborn. And they forgot who God was. And God called them back. And He said, I know, though you're full of sin, I'll wash you, I'll cleanse you. And that's what God is saying now. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise the Lord.
Amen and amen.
So we want the people get close to God and hide in the Lord. This is, I'm just looking at this transcript from April 2nd, 2005. And I was saying here that get close to God, hide in him. There's going to be many, many judgments, many different facets of judgment coming forth. And that's, and that's why in Isaiah 26:20, you find God calling his people to come and hide in their secret chamber that they may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And in Psalm 91, Psalm 46, Psalm 32, all these scriptures talk about the trouble, the great earthquakes and the raging sea, the mountains literally moving, and you want to be close to God. Praise it. And then in Isaiah chapter 2, God talks about the glory of the Lord manifesting Mike and the wicked actually hiding from the Lord in rocks and caves and holes of the earth. And we now know that they have these things. But you see, you're either going to hide in the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to hide from the Lord Jesus Christ.
There it is right there.
So you want to, the Lord is calling you to have confidence in Jesus, that your sins are cleansed, that you have no more consciousness of your sin, and you have no more fear of death, that you start serving the Lord in his eternal kingdom. Amen, Mike.
Amen.
I was talking about humble servants here, because the proud are going to be judged. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 17, every high look and lofty, the proud, the arrogant ones, they're coming down, Mike. So all these pedestal preachers that have exalted their name and magnified their name instead of the Lord's name, that's coming down. And this is the same spirit of what we were talking about in a previous broadcast. The demise of the Pharaoh's palaces that are governing, ruling like tyrants over God's heritage when they're not to be so. The Lord has not called leaders to be hirelings, hired hands. They're to be ministries of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and examples of godliness and righteousness. And we need to be humble and meek, just like Jesus Christ. That's God's calling. That's what it says here, Mike. God says that the exalted thing, the skyscrapers, it's like an analogy that God has shown me. The man-made things that exalt themselves up into the heavens, they're going to come crashing down. And you don't want to be standing near any skyscraper, so-called, in this hour. Or you don't want to be standing near any exalted flesh or man or entity or church or anything. Because that which God is bringing down, you don't want to be near it. So go to the Lord. That's what I prophesied in April 2nd, 2005, Mike.
That's right. You know, and I can say this, just seek God like you never seek him before. First, repent of your sins, because this is the way. You know, it isn't Buddha. It's not Muhammad. Mm-hmm. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not a Gandhi. It's not any of these flakes that are out here. It is Jesus Christ. People don't want to own up to it, but they want to run. Man wants to run from God, as you said in the scripture there, mm-hmm. and go hide. They don't want to deal with the thing. They'll believe in a Big Bang Theory, but they won't believe in creation, you know. Creation is still going on as we speak out in the heavens. So, you know, there is a true God, and there is a true way, and it is Jesus Christ. And like I can't stress it enough, folks, is the main thing is turning your will and your life totally over to the care of God as you understand him. Give it all. What you got to lose? You know, the world's hammering on you right now. You don't know what you're going to do. You get into the drugs, you get into the alcohol, or you get into any other addictions to just get away from it, and it's still there. The problem's still there when you come around. You know, and like I said, just seek God with all your heart.
You know, Mike, in recent days, I was down in the laundromat, and I told you that the Lord showed me I was to speak with this woman. I never saw her before. Uh-huh. She actually told a drifter that she didn't go to church, and the Lord prompted me that I wanted to tell her that God hasn't called her to go to church. God's called her to be the part of the church.
Amen.
You know, come not be religious, but she was showing love and compassion to this man.
That's right.
And so the Lord brought it. It did come to pass where I had a discussion with her, and then the Lord showed me that she was a prostitute. She'd been a prostitute. She'd been in prison. And I got to, the first thing I wanted to talk to her about was the gospel. Because what is the gospel? I don't believe many people know what the gospel is, even though it's ABC simple and it's recorded right in the Bible. But you can, Mike, in this, all this religious TV, radio, internet, all this in churches on every corner like a hamburger stand, the gospel's really not proclaimed.
That's right.
You know, Jesus taking away our sin on a dying on a cross, being buried for 3 days according to Scripture, and being raised again from the dead according to Scripture. And believing that is the power of God unto salvation. It'll change your life. It'll change you from the inside out.
Yes, it will.
So I asked her, and do you believe that? And she said she had a like head knowledge, but I said, you know, the Lord's calling you to absolutely, totally surrender everything and follow him. And she, you know what she said?
What's that?
She said she wasn't ready to do that.
Wow.
And here she'd been in prison. She's been a drug addict. She's sold her body. She's violated her conscience. Horrible destruction has taken place through prostitution. And yet,
amen,
she's still in the clutch of darkness, just like you were talking about.
Yeah, the clutch of darkness is gripping tighter and tighter amongst the human race here upon this earth. Again, I can't stress it enough. I sound like a broken record, but I got to keep saying it. You've got to have a daily relationship. Has nothing, I mean diddly squat nothing, about going to church.
Or some religious experience that you may have had 15, 20 years ago, or raising your hand, or walking forward, or, you know, whatever is the latest fad that may go on. We have to really... Well, it is by grace through faith. It's believing the gospel. But there is fruit. You don't continue to walk in darkness. You've walked with Jesus. There's a scripture, Mike, I'd like to read from John chapter 3.
Go ahead.
He was saying in John 3:18, Jesus, you know, John 3:16 and John 3:17 were really famous scriptures. But John 3:18 says, he that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. See, that's the problem, Mike. People love their darkness, and they hate the light, and that's why they're going to hide in the dark caves and rocks and holes.
Says, I think it's over there in Jeremiah. Forgot exactly where right at the present time, because I don't have the word in front of me. But it says, men's hearts are evil. Men's hearts are evil that are not regenerated in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, I'm just a good person. I'm going to make it into heaven. No, there's no good people going to make it into heaven, because there's a lot of good people that are down there in hell burning, because they didn't want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior over their life. They didn't want to surrender. They had a spirit of haughtiness, a spirit of pride. I don't need God. I just need to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Bless God, you know, so to speak. That's what their mentality is, and those type people will end up in hell, because good people, you know, that's just things here on this earth. People kind of classify themselves. No, it says only the people that have come to Christ Jesus, accepting him as their personal Lord and Savior, will enter into the gates of heaven. Because I sadly to say, and I'm not harping on it, but sadly to say, there's a lot of good people with a lot of good intentions that went to hell.
Yes.
That's something really to ponder on, because, you know, every time, Trevor, I live not too far from a funeral home here in where I live at in the Webb City area, and every time I go by there's cars out there, and the first thing that runs through my mind, did they have a daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And also in the Word, Trevor, it says, and I forgot exactly where, and I'm paraphrasing it, because I don't want to misquoted, I'm just going to paraphrase it. not everybody's going to heaven. There's a lot of people, well, let me take it back. The majority of the people are not going to heaven. They're all going to hell. Only a very few, small percentage of people here on the face of this planet are going to make it in to the kingdom of God, because it takes that total surrender. Don't do the things I want to do. I want to please the King of all kings, Jesus Christ. See, we got too much compromising the gospel going on today in the body. You see, because there's a lot of people out here that they think you can do everything in moderation. Well, no, that's from the pits of hell. Like I told him, I guess it's okay then to do a little bit of a cocaine or a little bit of whoring around. Just keep it in moderation. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying abstain from all this stuff. And I'll say this. It's holiness or hell. If you're not walking that road, on that straight and narrow road of Jesus Christ, and you're not being a doer of the word, you're headed to hell, because that's not holiness. Holiness is when you're doing, being a doer of the word, you're doing everything that it says to do. That's holiness that you're walking in. That's what's going to bring you into the kingdom of God. Trevor?
Well, you're reminding me of where Jesus said it was a very narrow way. It's a straight,
that's right.
Straight way, narrow, that leads to life, but it was a wide, broad way that leads to destruction, and many that go in thereby. That's why, again, we say don't follow people. If you're following people, the multitudes, you're totally missing. You're going the wrong way. It's Jesus that you need to follow. And one of the messages I'd like to talk about soon, Mike, is called skewed. People are skewed. You know, if you're off the mark, you know, just to the left or to the right, you know, if you go sailing, you set your compass, but if you're off a degree, you'll never make it. You'll miss it. You'll go around the world. And we need, through the Spirit, we need to rely on Jesus Christ. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Seek Him. Draw near to Him. He needs to be our life. Our affection needs to be on things above, not on things of the earth. Otherwise, we do drift. And, you know, there's people that are obviously 180 degrees off. You know, there's people that are obviously 90 degrees. They've made a left turn or a right turn. But there's people that are just slightly off. And we don't want to be that way. We want to stay walking with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will always prompt you and lead you back to that narrow way. Well, thank you, Mike, for sharing. And we just pray that people see the urgency of the hour and rise up and shine. Because in the last days, as the prophet Daniel was told, there's going to be righteous ones that turn many into righteousness, and they're going to shine as the stars of the firmament of heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen.